When you and I do more than is expected or reasonably required for us to do, we're on God's team. Listen carefully. I want you to respond. When you and I, when we do more than we are expected or required to do, that means that we are on
God's team.
D plus. Try it again. When you and I, everybody, do more than we are expected or required to do, this means that we're on
God's team.
There you go. That's the bottom line of what we're looking at in these principles. Now, let's look at the scripture, Matthew chapter number 5. I'm going to read just a verse and a half. We're going to study 5 verses. Verse 38. You have heard, Jesus is speaking, it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. This is such an easy passage to outline, remember? Look at it, the first part of it, verse 30. You have heard, Jesus, you have heard, and now Jesus gives us here the cultural law of Moses. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And you go all the way back to the code of Hammurabi, if you remember your history. Babylonian king dating 1,000 years before Moses, you find the same principle. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You find the same phrase listed 3 times in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 21, Leviticus chapter 24, Deuteronomy chapter 19. And look how it says, look with me, Exodus, easy to find, Genesis, Exodus, second book, Genesis, Exodus, chapter number 21, verse 24. Look how he says it. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty clear for all of us. And you read, if you would, Exodus chapter 22, 23, 24. Moses just spells out every kind of life situation you can almost imagine. When, what do you do here? How do you respond to this? This offense, this word, this slight, this blow, this dagger, this knife, the relation of the family, whether you're rich or poor, middle. He goes to great detail. But that's not enough. The scribes later on, the Mishnah, the Talmud, they even explain everything when you lift your hand. I mean, they get way into the minutiae, keeping the law. The principle is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Gandhi said, if this were applied universally, everybody in the world would be blind and toothless. But it is still the basic standard of law in our world today. In the secular world, that stands today as it did 1,000 years before Moses, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's when you hear, let the punishment match the crime. So why is this there? It's there as a preventative to prevent individuals from harming other individuals. It is also there to limit the amount of revenge that we can take. Because if you hit me and I reach and shoot you, hey, I've escalated things, have I not? And so it limits the amount of revenge or amount of retribution that you can take. But all of us have in us the desire for revenge, to get even. And we want to more than get even. Man, if you hurt me, I'm going to come and I... That's how we're built. It starts way back. 2 little siblings are playing. Older sister, younger brother. Older sister, Anna. Younger brother, Henry. And all of a sudden, there's a cry. The big sister's crying out, and the mother runs in and sees little Henry has a hunk of Anna's hair. He's pulling it, won't let go. She's crying, ah! He goes over there and pries off little Henry's hand and said to Anna, He doesn't know how much that hurts you. The mother leaves the room, and the minute she hears little Henry crying, she walks in, and Anna says, "Now he knows." Vengeance. Vengeance. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is how our world operates. This is the basis upon which we have our laws today at this moment in time, built into history. Now, this is what you've heard. This was the law in that day, but Jesus says, "But I say unto you," and here Jesus begins to give us little clear vignettes, little cameos, little stories in one sentence form of the basic principle that we're after. And the basic principle is you and I, when we do more than is expected or reasonably required for us to do, then we are on
C.
C minus. When you and I do more than we are expected or required to do, then we are on
God's
team. That's it. Now we see the countercultural response of Jesus to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Look what he says in our scripture. Go back to Matthew, if you're lost in Exodus. Verse 39, "But I say to you," remember? Do not resist an evil person. Well, Jesus says that we're not to resist an evil person. Now watch this. This is where people take the Bible, it becomes Squirrel City. They take a part of a verse and they say, "Boy, we're not supposed to resist an evil person. Look at it, it says that right here." Ladies and gentlemen, learn how the basic principle interpretation, when you see something that's way over the top that seems totally illogical and irrational, Scripture proves and verifies other Scripture. Hello? And then you look at the context of that Scripture. And a lot of wise people have taken that little part of that 39th verse, "Do not resist an evil person," and they have gone to Mars with it. What does it mean? Do not resist an evil person. Well, how does that operate? Some people said, well, we don't need government, military, we can't have wars, we can't defend ourselves. It's because they haven't read the rest of the Bible. Romans 13 tells about how we respond to a government. 1 Peter 2, you have the privilege of a just war, we are to be protected, and therefore we are to be proactive. There is a framework for government. This is used in interpersonal, practical ways, and Jesus tells us exactly what this means. Now, before I get into reading these verses, you got to go back to the same thing I've already said twice. I'm going to say it once more. The Sermon on the Mount is not a rule of laws. It's a rule of principles. And we ought to take these principles, broad that they are, and apply them in the broad applications of life, so we discover that when we do more than is expected or reasonably required for us to do, we will be on
God's team.
That's it. Now, let's see how Jesus relates this. First of all, he relates it in an interpersonal, in the realm of of interpersonal relationships. Look at this, how it says. Look at verse, latter part of verse 39. "And whoever slaps you on your right cheek," that's an interpersonal relationship, isn't it? By the way, to be slapped on your right cheek, they have to be what, left-handed? Or they have to backhand you? And a backhand was a slur. It was a slam. It was a put-down. Jesus says, in interpersonal relationships, you're going to have a situation, people are going to slap you, maybe not physically, probably with verbiage. Bam, they're going to slap us down. They're going to deal with us. They're going to slander us. They're going to tell the truth in order to hurt us or make up things out of fantasy file or take little partial truths and use them to abuse us. We are slapped. So he talks about how do we handle when we are slapped in a personal relationship. Look at the next verse. He talks about this in another very, very practical context. He says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, this area of jurisprudence, it's the area of the court. Somebody wants to sue you. They want to sue you and take the shirt off your back. What about that? How do we respond to that? Remember in that day, the average person that may have had a couple of shirts, they had only one coat. Somebody's going to sue you. That's how they paid their bills. In the whole realm of jurisprudence, how do we respond in courts when somebody's going to sue us? Whether they're right or whether they're wrong, how do we respond in that situation? That's the predicament. That's the challenge Jesus gives. Look at the next thing. This is resolved in the whole political realm. It says, whoever forces you to go 1 mile. There was a hated law the Romans had over the Jews. Any Roman citizen was asked, any Jewish person, to guide them 1 mile, to carry their pack for 1 mile. It was a law. And the Jews hated this law. How do we respond in situations where we have to abide by this law and we're forced to? What is the countercultural Christian response to that? Then the final one is in the business realm. Look at verse 42. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. So we have Jesus responding to specific situations. Interpersonal relationships. Lawsuits, somebody wants to sue you and use that. In political situations, well, we have to do this according to the law. We don't like it. It makes us mad. In business situations, we have a relationship going here. How do we handle that? Jesus gives us a basic principle, and that is if we do more than it is expected or reasonably required for us to do, then we are on I want to show you how that works, especially with the second mile principle. Whoever asked you to go 1 mile, that'd be the Romans under the law, go with him 2 miles. How does that work? Here's a Jewish boy hoeing in his field. He sees in his peripheral vision a Roman soldier coming down the road. He says, I sure hope he doesn't see me and ask me to carry that heavy pack and all that gear for 1 mile. And by the way, a Roman mile was 1,000 paces, a little shorter than our mile. And every Jewish person, every boy would have 1 mile peg driven down from every place in the road. So if he ever had to carry the burden of a Roman for 1 mile, he wouldn't go just 1 mile. They hated that rule. He's working in the field. The Roman soldier sees him. Hey, son. Hey, boy, come here. Carry my pack for 1 mile. And he slowly puts down his hoe. He slowly walks over the soldier. He looks at him with hatred, picks up his pack, puts it on. He's dragging down, complaining. He comes to the end of the mile, 1 mile peg. He throws that pack down. He looks at the Roman soldier. He said, wait till my nation's on top. We're going to make you carry 10 tons, 10 miles. And he turns and goes back to the field. He's so angry, he breaks the hoe over a tree. And he runs home and takes it out on his family. Sound familiar? Oh, yeah. Now, here's another young guy. He's working in the field. But he had heard Jesus talk about this second mile principle. Whoever asks you to go within 1 mile, go within 2 miles. He's working in the field. The Roman soldier says, hey, boy, come carry my pack. He says, yes, sir. And he walks and he vaults over the fence. He picks up the pack, puts it on his back. He walks at such a pace, the Roman soldier has to pick up. He's asking him questions about where he's been, the wars he's in, about his family, about the Roman government, about the empire. And they go past the mile peg. Soldier said, look, son, you've gone far enough. You don't have to go any farther. He said, no, sir, if you don't mind, I'm going to carry your pack all the way to the edge of the city. I'm enjoying learning about the Roman empire. And he walks all the way to the edge. He goes that second mile. And he gets there. He hands the pack to the soldier. And the soldier takes the glove off his hand, extends it to him. He says, listen, if you ever need anything from the Roman Empire, you know where to get me. I'll tell you where I'm going to be stationed. You are a rare, rare young man. You've gone with me the second mile. The young man went home and does 2 hours' work. In 1 hour's time, he goes home that night, and his family sees him coming. He's smiling. They say, we know what happened today to Abe. He went that second mile. Who was in charge of those two men walking together, once the young man went the second mile, the young man was, wasn't he? We are just to roll over in a big ball when problems come. We are to go that second mile. Do more than expected and reasonably required from you and me in every situation. And guess what? We'll be on
God's team.
And you see that principle through all of these. You notice when somebody slaps you on the cheek, you don't just say, you what? You turn. You take over. You turn and say, hey, slander me some more. I'm here. Let it go. Turn the other. How does that really work? Wallace knows this. Others here know this. Over 20 years ago, I was appointed to be on a national committee. I was on the committee for 4 years trying to bring reconciliation to two warring factions, two people who were divided, two groups of people numbering millions. And so we brought in people. We traveled all across this country and tried to find reconciliation. And we'd bring people in who would say, this is the problem. One man came in who was well known at that day. He came in, and in the middle of the time, he looked at another man who was seated there, who was well known in that day, and he began to lacerate him. I mean, he challenged his ethics, his motives, his theology, his background. I don't know when I've heard anybody take a tongue lashing like this man did. And all the time he was being blasted, he just sat there with a sweet little smile on his face. And the more he smiled, the more outrageous were the accusations. Finally, when the meeting was over, because he never responded to all of this, the man who was so angry left the meeting. He just walked out. When it was all over, I went up to this guy and I said, how in the world did you sit there? I have never heard such a... How were you able to do it? He said, you see your buddy there, another friend of mine? He said he was seated behind me. He leaned down. As he would make one charge, he would say, don't say a word. Then he'd say something else. He said, remain seated. Don't even respond. He said he did that all the way through. He said many times, I wanted to stand. I wanted to speak. He said, shh, don't answer him. Don't answer him. Today, the man who made all of those charges, if I called his name, there wouldn't be five people who'd ever heard of him. The other man who just sat there, if I called his name, every single person in this room would know exactly who I'm talking about. You see, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath, right? But a better answer to a lot of wrath is this. Someone slaps you on the cheek, verbally, whatever. Sometimes the very best thing we can do is absolutely nothing. And we're prompted by the Holy Spirit. Don't have a friend behind us like this guy did so many times just to say, hey, you can't defend yourself anyway. See the principle? Do more than expected or reasonably required for us to do. We'll wake up one day and discover we're on every single time. Look how it applies there in the business world. Look at how it, in the courts. Jurisprudence. Somebody's going to sue you for your shirt. You know, how do you respond? You just say, well, no, what do? You let him have your coat as well. What? Yeah. Say, hey, if there's a real need here, you need my shirt, you think, you know, I've exploited you, here, take my coat. You say, boy, that's weird. You see, we just keep the law of man. We're not doing very much. And what about the whole realm of business here? He's talking about, hey, if there's a real need there, we've got to be available. In other words, people who are on God's team are generous people. We're benevolent people. That's what this is teaching us. And we don't just respond, we turn the other cheek. We say, hey, if you need it, I'll give you my coat as well in a legal situation. I have to go 1 mile with you. Hey, I'll go 2 miles with you. And you want a bar? Here's this, and here's what I have. If there's a genuine need of help, you see, some wisdom and discernment from the Lord has to happen. Now, how does this all play out? if you go all the way to get the big picture, you have to go all the way to heaven. I'm in heaven. This is eternity. And I look back over there and say, boy, there's that person who said something about me, and I want you to know I responded to them, and I really told. In heaven, that's so silly. Somebody said it. In heaven, you know, I didn't lend that money there. That's so silly from heaven. You see, all the conflicts we have all the time, we get upset and we get mad and we want to have our way and we've been abused and we've been used. What's that all about? It's about me. It's about you. It's about self. It's a passage there in Corinthians. Paul says, I don't care what you think about me. No. He said, I don't even care really what the world thinks about me. He said, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't even judge myself. I don't even look at my... He said, I have one audience, and that is the audience of God. He said, all the rest. How did he get to this point? Familiar passage, Galatians 2:20. I was crucified with Christ. Sounds like somebody's been executed, doesn't it? So when we die to ourselves, I die to my goals, my pride, You see, if we practice all these things, people will say, I want you to know, that person has no courage. Man, they turned the other cheek when that person was saying all that about them. And then you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you my coat as well. You'd say, that person has no common sense. They sued him for his shirt. They're going to go overboard to give more. That guy has no common sense. And then you had to go the mile. That person is not even patriotic. That person sided with the Romans and went an extra mile. Well, that Roman dog, I want you to know, he's not even patriotic to Israel. He's not patriotic. And then the business thing, my goodness, you'll lose everything. You see, when we do more than expected or reasonably required for us to do, we are on. And we're going to be slandered and people are going to laugh at us. They're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. But we're living counter-cultural lives. We're moving in the opposite direction. Now, all of these are little micro illustrations, right? And all these little arenas is how we ought to respond. How does this work in a macro situation? 4 years ago, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, a man by the name of Charlie Roberts got up in the morning, put two of his children on the school bus, went and drove to an Amish school. He was angry at God because God had taken one of his children, he believed, from him. He goes to an Amish school. There were 26 kids in the classroom. He takes a gun and he shoots all 10 of the girls in the classroom. He takes his own life. 5 of the girls die. Now, the Amish want no publicity. They want to live their own private life in their own little different kind of community existence. But whatever they are or they are not, they are Jesus followers. How would you have responded? How would I have responded if one of those little girls had been my little girl or your little girl? I'll tell you, I'd say, I'm going to find out where that guy's family is and his wife, and I may go take one of his children out. I'm going to tell you, I want revenge. Something's not going on. Isn't that how we'd responded? How did those unusual Jesus followers respond? They went immediately to the family of Charlie Roberts. They ministered to his wife and his kids and all of those that had surrounded him. They went to his funeral in mass. And the last report, they were still loving and supporting and trying to help the family and the friends of the man who had taken the precious, innocent lives of five little girls. When you and I do more than expected or reasonably required for us to do, and we respond to the abuses of life with aggressive love, that's it, aggressive love, guess what? We will know then that we are on
God's team. Has life left you feeling miserable, bored, mad, or confused? You sometimes say, I just want to be happy. And yet, no matter how hard you try, happiness always seems to elude you. The world tells us that to be happy, we need to be rich and successful and healthy. But in the Bible, Jesus used words like humble, meek, broken to describe happiness. And when we live those words out, that's when we find true happiness.
Do you want to live a life full of meaning and significance, a life that is truly, genuinely happy? Join me for the series, Happy People, as we study the best known, least understood, and hardest to live out words in the Bible. You find them in the Sermon on the Mount.
Get your copy of Happy People Volume 1 by calling the number on your screen or go online at winningwalk.org. It's our gift to you for your financial support of this ministry.
Retaliation, it seems to be the only response we can think of to deal with people who have wronged us. But would it surprise you to know that the Bible offers a better solution? We are to respond as Jesus responded. We are called to turn the other cheek, to love those who no one else would love, even those who don't like us. This seems impossible. And it is impossible by my efforts and by your efforts. But when we know Jesus Christ, His supernatural love flows through us. Call the number on your screen right now. Let us help you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Knowing Him changes everything. Thank you for watching today, and join us again next week right here on The Winning Walk.